I just want to start. I know we've just prayed, but let me just pray over this time. So will you join with me in prayer? Our Lord God, we do thank you for being able to meet here in this place. And Lord, we don't take this for granted after what we've been through in recent times. So we rejoice in that and give you thanks. And Holy Spirit, today I pray that as we look into the words of Scripture, that you would help them not just to be words that go into our heads, or that we hear with our ears and just go into our heads, but Lord, that you would help them to be embedded in our hearts. And I just want to pray that over this time. Pray for your presence to be with each one of us. You are with us, Lord, but we just invite you to help us to hear well today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, 3 weeks ago, on a Friday, a friend of mine at work became an Australian citizen. And after living and working here for about 10 years, she was pretty excited about it. And we were able to celebrate that with her and rejoice with that with her. But I know for a number of people here at West Ryde, that's something that you might be wanting to do or waiting to do, or there's been all sorts of obstacles to that happening along the way. And I know there's all sorts of related kind of visa and residency issues as well. And that's possibly been really difficult and frustrating and disappointing. And so you might hear my friend Claudia's story this morning and you're thinking, well, that's okay for her. That's okay for her. She got there. She made it. She's a citizen here now. And I'd really like to be there. But I haven't got there yet, and that's really hard. But what if I then told you this morning that if you've decided to follow Jesus, you have already gained citizen status. You've already gained citizen status. What if I reminded us all here this morning that if you've decided to follow Jesus, if you've made that decision in your life, then you've been invited and you've been included and you've been welcomed with open arms as a citizen of another country, another kingdom, a kingdom which will always be, a kingdom that stretches from where we are now but right into eternity. Now, I want to remind us about this morning because it's just something that we need reminding about along the way. And today with Easter just last week, it's only a week ago, hopefully it's still fresh in our mind. It's just a really good time to be reminded about this. Because Jesus talked so much about this kingdom, didn't he? As we read through the Gospels, the stories of Jesus, the accounts of his life, Jesus talks about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven and what it's like. And he sort of unpacks some of that. And some of it's left a little bit mysterious, but he talks about it often. And he spoke about how in his presence, when he came to live among us, that this kingdom had come to be near us and it was now with us and among us. And he taught us that it was constantly growing, like from a small mustard seed is one of the illustrations he uses. Small mustard seed, this kingdom grows like the tree that grows from a mustard seed. And he used a whole lot of illustrations to explain what the kingdom was like. And then, of course, the works of Jesus, the things that he did, showed us the kingdom breaking through into our existence and across our earthly kingdoms. It's also a massive part of the Easter story, which is why it's a good time for us to be reminded about this, because, you explored it, I think, on Palm Sunday a couple of weeks ago, if you were here. The whole idea of the kingdom of heaven breaking out against the kingdom of darkness. And so, again, you've got this kingdom of heaven, this kingdom of God. And so we need to hear this stuff. Because here's what I think happens for us so often. We get caught up in life, don't we? We get caught up in the things of life. and all the things that are going on around us and in the world, and you know, day after day, and we can forget this other aspect. We end up sometimes only seeing the reality of one kingdom, and that's the earthly one, the one that we can see and hear and smell and touch and taste, the one we're engaged with day to day. And we can end up forgetting the reality and the nearness that through Jesus and through what happened at Easter, we have become citizens of another kingdom. Just go back a step. There, that's the one, in the wrong spot. Now, of course, it's only natural that we spend most of our time, effort and our energy on what's going on for us, you know, the people around us, the people we love, at work and studies and all of that sort of stuff, and here at church. And that's fair enough, because that's right here in front of us, right? We're interacting with that every day. And we really do need to be engaged with all of that. And this does matter, and it is important. And that's clear from Scripture as well. But here's the thing. As I read the New Testament Scriptures, there's a very real sense that all of this, these lives that we live here and now, are actually only part of the story in the kingdom. There's this thread running through God's story, that our God, our Creator, has made us for this, yes, but that He's also made us for much more than just this. So when we get too caught up in the things of this world, we forget about our citizenship in God's kingdom. When that happens, we lose sight of what that means for us as we live our lives in the here and now. When in reality, it's our belonging to this other kingdom, this bigger kingdom, that should be impacting the way we live here rather than the other way around. Do we kind of get what I'm saying here? We sometimes get it from the wrong angle. We view the kingdom of heaven from an earthly perspective, when I think the sense of it is that what God wants us to do is view what we do here, the living in the here and now, from that kingdom perspective, from God's perspective. So let me share a conversation that I had with a good friend recently. And it was a conversation where we found ourselves talking about what comes next. It wasn't a conversation about what's going to happen tomorrow or next week or next year or anything like that. It was a conversation where we were actually thinking through what happens when this physical life, this here and now flesh and blood life, is over for us. What happens then? What comes next? And it was a conversation where we were properly engaged with the idea of eternity and the reality of being citizens of God's kingdom. And it was, to be honest, it was a fairly rare conversation. We don't have these conversations very often, but it was really refreshing and encouraging, where we were turning it around a bit and sort of seeing things from that other side, the other way around, getting that perspective from God's kingdom on the here and now and what happens after. I guess it's a little bit like if you go to a new city. You've never been to this city before, and you're walking through the streets, and the buildings are there, and you're walking up one street and down another street or whatever, and you can kind of see the streetscape and what's there, but you don't have a really good sense of how it all fits together or how the city's really laid out. You can't. You're just in those little spots within it. But then somebody comes along and says, hey, I can give you a ride in a helicopter. We can go and have a look at the city from up above. And so you pay your money and you take them up on that offer. And it's only really up there when you're above the city and you can really see and really get a sense of the whole place, the whole city. And it's like, okay. Now it all makes more sense. Now I've got a proper feel for where we are. And I can see where we were, and I can see how that fits into the rest of it. It kind of puts it in perspective and just gives you that bigger picture. Well, I think it's a little bit like that with the kingdom. Once we actually draw back and see that bigger picture, once we get more of a bird's eye view, we get that new perspective, and we can see a little bit more about how our lives really are and how it all fits and how it fits into God's kingdom and his future plans for us and everything that he has for us. Does that make sense? We just draw back and get that bigger picture. Well, back to the conversation with my friend. Because as we talked, we noticed how for us, the further we got on in life, I guess the older we got, we were admitting that, the more curious we found ourselves becoming about what comes next. Still very much engaged in the here and now, but we're more curious about that. And to be honest, there was also, we identified for both of us, there was kind of a longing, sort of a heart longing for what God has in store for us, even as we were very much engaged with family and life and everything in the here and now. So it was kind of like, as we were talking, it was kind of like this wrestle between the two. Very much living in the present time, but also looking forward to what God has for us in that bigger picture, the kingdom picture of everything. A little bit like we were caught between two kingdoms, almost like you've got a foot in both. Now, I don't know whether you've kind of experienced that before, or you've sensed that longing for something more, or maybe you've never thought about it in that way before. But if you have, I don't think we're alone in that. I don't think we're alone in it. Because the Apostle Paul, it seems, had some of the same kind of wrestle going on for himself. And we pick up some of it in the reading that was read for us, that Colin read for us a moment ago. Let me just read a couple of verses from that. Where Paul says, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I'm meant to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me, yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. It's important to kind of put in some context where Paul's writing this from. Paul writes this from prison. He's most probably under house arrest in Rome when he writes these words to the Philippians. So he faces an uncertain future at this point. He honestly doesn't know what's going to happen. He doesn't know whether he's going to lose his life in prison, whether he's going to have more time with them. I am torn, he says. Here's my wrestle. To live is Christ. If I stick around in the body, in this life, I know because of who Jesus is, that will serve a real purpose. That will be fruitful. I'll continue to sow into the ways of Jesus, the cause of Christ, and do all that some of what we knew Paul was on about. Here amongst the people, I'll continue to do that. So that'd be good, right? So Paul's admitting that. He's saying, yes, that's great. But then, to die, well, if it's time for the end of this life for me, that, Paul, he says, is gain. I actually desire to depart and be with Christ, which, as Paul puts it in the passage, is better by far. It's a different perspective, isn't it? We often don't look at it from that point of view and honestly kind of wrestle with those two things as followers of Jesus. What was it that Jesus said to his followers just before he left them? He had a whole lot of things to say to them, but part of what he said was this. Disciples are worried, they don't know what's going to happen. What does Jesus say to them? He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be able to be where I am. Going back to Paul, Paul knows in God's kingdom rule, in God's kingdom perspective, that Jesus has gone and prepared a place for him whenever the time comes for him. And because he trusts in Jesus, and because God the Father is a good and generous God, that will be amazing. Better by far, in Paul's words. In short, Paul knows where his forever home is. He knows where his forever home is, and he knows that one day he will go home to that place. I don't know whether it's the same for anybody here, but I keep hearing people talk in recent years about they're building their forever home, or they're moving into their forever home, or they're renovating their forever home. And I think you've missed the point. It might be for the next decade or two decades or whatever, and that's great. You need to have a place to live, and that's all fine, but I'm not sure about that being your forever home. Paul gets this. He gets what we're talking about here. It's a much longer term than what people are talking about when they talk about their forever home. So if I live, says Paul, I win because I live in Christ. But if I die, well, I win because I will be with Christ. Either way, and even in prison, he sees himself in like this win-win situation. Whether he lives, whether he dies, it's all good. How good is that, to have that perspective? It's his kingdom view of life. So I think what Paul gives us here, in this passage, by his words, and by his example and the way he lived his life, is a gift. I think Paul gives us a gift. It's the gift of a kingdom outlook on life, following on from Jesus obviously painting that picture. It's the gift of a balance between what it is to live fully engaged in the here and now in the way of Jesus, following the path of Jesus. But to live all of this from the perspective of belonging in the kingdom. Sure and certain future. Living knowing we are always with Christ. As Paul said in the reading, verse 27, going a little bit further than the passage we looked at just then. Whatever happens, he's saying, whatever happens to me, whether I live or die or I'm with you or whatever, whatever happens to me, as citizens of heaven, he's talking to the people, live in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And so instead of this picture of eternity, this bigger picture, this wider picture, this better view, instead of that being kind of some like fluffy distraction to living our lives here on earth, this view from the kingdom actually gives us some very real and powerful resources for while we're living in the here and now. What are they? Just very quickly, here's at least a few things to keep in mind, some of which we've kind of already touched on. First one, a proper picture of the kingdom gives us real perspective. We've talked about that, the helicopter view. But here's just a couple of points that come from that. Firstly, it helps us remember that there's more to life than what we experience here. This is great, it's important, we need to be engaged with it, but there's more to it. It reminds us also that this world is not our forever home. Gives us that eternal perspective. It teaches us, thirdly, not to get too attached to what's temporary, the stuff of this world, the things we own. Use them, enjoy them, steward them well, but don't get too attached to them. It also explains the deep longing that we have for something more that my friend and I were kind of talking about there. And I wonder whether you've ever sensed that as well. The writer of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament says, he says, he, that is God, has placed eternity in our hearts. He has placed eternity in our hearts. So it's normal for us to be longing for something more. It's normal for us. It's been placed in us. There's something inside us that just kind of just beeps away, reminding us that we were made for more. It's kind of like you were made for eternity. You were made for eternity. You were made for eternity just within us. C.S. Lewis says in one of his books, he says this, "If I find in myself desires which nothing in this world can satisfy, the only logical explanation is that I was made for another world." What's Lewis saying? He's saying we were made for eternity. We were made for God's kingdom. And we'll only be truly satisfied when we take our place in that, yes, now, as we do now, but also into eternity, when our longings and desires are fully met and when our brokenness and incompleteness is fully dealt with and healed. So a proper picture of the kingdom gives us real perspective. Secondly, a proper picture of the kingdom really motivates us. This one's important. We see it in Paul's life. Instead of just kind of waiting and wondering about what comes next, knowing our belonging as citizens in God's kingdom motivates us to be all about the king's business while we're here, whatever we're up to. We look at the Apostle Paul. At one point in another letter, he tells us that he had this amazing picture or vision of heaven, and it was just mind-blowing, and he couldn't even describe it and let people know what it was about. But did Paul getting that picture of what awaited him in eternity, did that demotivate him from what he was on about? Not at all. Not at all. Paul goes after an active and fruitful and powerful and grace-filled ministry. He's all in whatever he's doing while he's here. He plants churches, he introduces others to Jesus, all the while having this clear picture that he's been given of what it's going to look like. And you know, just like Paul, we're called to go out and play and explore the world and beauty and people and relationships and study and careers and vocations and callings and all of those sorts of things with all the amazing freedom and variety of our lives that we do enjoy in this place. But as children of the kingdom, we do that in the way of Jesus and in the way of the kingdom. We get on with the king's business. And so what does that mean for us? What do we do? Well, among other things, we love other people, right? All people, but particularly the vulnerable or the powerless or whatever, we're called to love them. We live generous, other-focused ways in the way of the King, the way Jesus showed us to. And we invite others along. We invite others into that. This isn't some exclusive club that we're in. The King gives an open invitation for anyone to come along and enjoy his abundant kingdom. Having a clear picture of being a part of God's kingdom motivates us to be about his business and to invite other people home as well. Come home with me. Thirdly, a proper picture of the kingdom brings us real peace. Now, I didn't know, Fran, that you were going to use that passage before today, and you didn't know I was going to use it. I'm just very briefly touching on it. This isn't the world's kind of peace. This isn't the kind of peace you have when your insurance is paid up and, you know, you're kind of safe and secure and all of that sort of stuff. It's real peace based on someone much bigger than us who can deal with our fears and anxieties if we allow him. Because of who God is, we can know that no matter what happens to us in this life, our future is completely and utterly secured. And that brings the peace that passes all understanding. We don't even get it. Some of us have experienced that in the darkest or most difficult times of our lives. It's a peace from God. It's not all up to us. It's in the hands of a big God, and it's going to be okay. And finally, and really quickly, A proper picture of the kingdom and our place in it gives us real hope and brings real meaning to our lives. Hope, because we know we're included in what God's planned. The future is secured. And meaning, because you're living the way you were created to be. It's the way God made us to live in this kingdom life. You know, if we can properly grab a hold of that with both hands, it allows us to more freely live lives of love and grace and generosity in the way of Jesus, in the way of the kingdom, in the way of the King, until one day he does call us home. And if you don't know the King yet, my prayer for you today is that you would continue to be curious and explore and ask questions and ask Jesus to reveal himself, because he's so worth knowing, and it will change your life if you get to know him. So as we, in a little while, head off into the rest of our weekends and into our weeks, I just want to encourage us all today not to lose sight of the bigger picture, the bird's eye view of the kingdom. Never forget that you are a citizen of that other kingdom. Don't lose the wonder about what comes next. And perhaps allow yourself even a little bit of a longing for home while we're still here. But then let that spur you on to live as a child of and as a citizen of his kingdom, wherever you are and whatever you do and while ever you have breath. Let me pray for us as we finish. Our Lord God, we thank you so much for the story that you've revealed. We thank you for the power of Jesus' life and ministry and action, and then his death and his resurrection that we remembered last week. And Lord, just the stories and the pictures of the kingdom that he brought us and that he showed us. And Lord, I pray that as we go into this week, you would help us just to allow that inkling of that other kingdom, the reality of that other kingdom, that perspective to break into whatever we're doing and whoever we're doing it with this week. And Lord, help us to more and more, even as we're engaged with people and loving and generosity and all of that sort of stuff, Lord, that is because we understand more fully that we are citizens of another kingdom. No matter what our citizenship is on this earth, we're citizens of your kingdom when we've chosen to follow Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us, Holy Spirit, to remember that in our lives, week to week, day to day, year to year. I pray that in the name of Jesus.